Good morning. Let's get started. I say let's get started with it. I have a long slide set, some interesting topics today. We're going to look a bit at C code, some aspects of C that are important for this class. And we're going to look at some hardware components that do bitwise operations. So at the last lecture, we looked at how we can implement while and switch using assembly, how we can do a control flow. So we saw several levels of optimization with while, right? We saw how we go from like 5 instructions per a loop to 4, then to 3. And we saw how we can do various ways, how we can implement switch in various ways. Like we can just go through if else through all the conditions, or we can do binary search, or we could do that table lookup, table address computation. Then we looked at the compilation pipeline. We learned about object files. We learned how in an object file there are these several regions. There is the text, which has machine code, but with some things missing with some of those temporary values. And then there was the data and the relocation table. Relocation table was having those directives, how those missing things will be replaced in the final machine code by the linker. And then we also talked about the symbol table. The symbol table has the calls that are global, the things that might be necessary in other files outside. We looked at executable machine code. We saw how sometimes ASCII characters are in all of them. Well, not sometimes, most of the time. We saw how the compilation pipeline actually always happens, right? We go from C code, we compile it to assembly, then we assemble it into an object file, and we link it into machine code. So that was last Tuesday. And since then, we had the lab yesterday. I saw that I had the pleasure of being there with you, and you were having a lot of fun. So that was nice. And then the other tasks are left as homework. So the homework is due next Wednesday at 4:59 p.m., so just before the next lab starts. So good luck. And, you know, make sure that you attend office hours and ask for help. Don't stay lost. Yeah, I noticed that yesterday. There was this barrier of embarrassment. Like, everybody seems to be making it, and I'm stuck here and I'm shy. Don't stay like that. Reach out to TAs. You know, they're very friendly. Don't stay stuck. I was stuck myself for a while. So. Reach out to TAs and they will help in a way that it will feel more time efficient. Okay. So today let's look a bit at C. In this class, we're gonna use data types that consist of this many bytes. So a char is just a byte, a short is 2 bytes, an integer is 4 bytes, and a long is 8 bytes in this class, at least. And that's usually what the bigger sizes are. Additionally, a float is the same as an int, is 4 bytes, and a double is 8 bytes. And then addresses or pointers are always 8 bytes. And I made that mistake last time. I was, for some reason, going with 4, but it was 8. So don't be like me. Next, strings. So in C, we can declare an array. So a string is an array, and we can declare a string the way it's done right there. In that case, it's a constant char pointer hello, which consists of that hello world, and that is translated to this type of data on the data end, and it's gonna be there in the program memory down in the memory arrangement, right? Not in the stack, not in the dynamic allocation, but at the very bottom. And the string is zero terminated, so null terminated. That's where the string ends. And a pointer stores the beginning of this array. So we see that address always points, or at the beginning of this, it points to the beginning of that array, So in this case, we have a pointer, and then we shift it. So what does that mean? We add a value to it. What does that mean? We do arithmetic on the pointer. So the pointer at first has a value. It points to the age. And if we add, we do the pointer value plus 5. So that's like the address plus 5. It will actually be equivalent to pointing to the fifth value. So that's empty space over there. And if we dereference that, we get the value out, right? So in the first case, we dereference the age, we get the age. By dereferencing in the second case, we get the empty space. And this is equivalent with indexing. So indexing hello and then square brackets, the index value is equivalent to what we just did. That's the two ways of doing the same thing. Questions about this so far? String, beginning, increment the address. Oh, right. Yeah, go ahead.
So this might be a stupid question, but so if each character is equal to one byte, then how are you able to only add 5 instead of 8 to get to the next? I guess I'm just a bit confused in terms of how it's stored in memory versus.
No, it's a very good question actually, because this is char, and char happens to be one byte,
right.
And then by adding just the value 5, we're actually going to go five chars, right? But if it would be an array of integers, right, that's 4 bytes. So when we add 5, it would actually be 5 times 4. So it will go 20 addresses on its own. It will automatically do that.
Okay.
Well, we have an example for that in the later slide.
All right.
Yeah.
So then I guess my question is, so then it's how would hello world be stored in hexadecimal, if that makes sense? Or is it sort of now this is at a specific address and you access that address through the...
So this, every single byte will be stored at an address location, and they will be one next to one. The first byte will be at the address that we actually initially point to, and then every single one of them, next ones will be just following that address. So you'll have 8-byte address, because that's how addresses are there, 8 bytes. An 8-byte address pointing to the H, and then the plus 1 value will point to the E, and so on, in the memory. And the memory is vast, right? There's lots and lots of space. At least in our high-end machines.
Is there a reason that the hexadecimal is 6 characters instead of 8, or?
In here it's like that because that's the way it's specified in the ISA at least. So in the physical address, it should be 8. What do you mean? So
just the memory addresses of where the initial hello, the H character.
So you mean that this
4005. Yeah.
That this is not that long, right? That's what you mean.
Yeah.
It's not. Charles, is there a reason why that's the case, or? One more time, please.
I expect to write all 3 zeros.
Yeah, there we go. So in the beginning, you have all zeros. Yeah. So it's an address, so it's 8 bytes. But if I write an 8-byte hexadecimal on the slide, maybe it will look not so nice. it's good to be very accurate, right? So arrays and pointers, so arrays decay into pointers. And when we do this operation, pointer foo plus bar, we do exactly foo of bar. And the other way around as well, because plus is commutative. So this was quite a surprise for me. But if you have foo of value, say 2, it's a constant, right? That is equivalent, it's exactly the same thing as 2 of foo. And don't write this, this is ugly code, but it will actually be legal to do that, turns out. Just because, in the end, foo of 2 is pointer foo plus 2, and pointer foo plus 2 is doable. Where foo is an array now. So it's the address, what is an array? It's a pointer of where the address points to. Yeah, so arrays decay into pointers. And in this case, now we have an example of arrays that, of an array that is not bytes, it's not chars, it's something else. So in this case, we have integer numbers, and we have four of them in there, and we create a pointer of type int, and then we assign pointer to numbers. So then in this case, pointer will be pointing at the first value right there at the beginning. And then we assign by, with this the reference, right? We assign the value 20. So this is equivalent to setting numbers of 0 to 20. Then we increment, so pointer equals pointer plus 2. So what does this really mean, plus 2? It's an int pointer, and int is 4 bytes, so that will be plus 8 in physically in the memory, plus 8 bytes. So it will index the second, you know, and then it will be like numbers of 2. That's the idea. That's what we're gonna get. But then when we set this value here, pointer to 30, we are doing numbers of index 2 equals to 30. So we're setting that 12 to 30. Questions about this? Good. Okay. Alrighty. So here's an exercise. We have an array of characters, four values in it, foo and null ending. Then we create a pointer. Same thing, you know, we have a few operations. What is the final value of foo of the array? And please talk among yourselves for a little while and come up with an answer. Need more time? Anyone thinks it's A, B, C? All right, we have a consensus. D or something else? I agree, it's C. Oh, good job. And I'll just go quick through it because I think it was quite clear what's going on. So we start with the pointer, that's how it looks on the stack, or with the array, that's how it looks on the stack. And we point it first to the first character, right? And then, we actually make the assignment to B, meaning to the first character. And what I mean here is that we set B to that first character, so we change from F to B. Then we increment the pointer by 2, so now we don't point to B, but to the third character there, which is an O. And now pointer 0 points to that O, so we set the value to Z, so now that O became Z. And then we don't change the pointer anymore, but what we do is work with foo itself, with pointer to foo, and foo, we never change the address or the, we never change the address of foo itself, we only change this pointer, which is like a second way to refer to that. So now foo plus 1 will point to the second value, which is the O, and we're setting an A there, so we're gonna have A instead of the second O, so in the end it's BAZ. Any questions? Yeah.
When you're initializing a string with an array, do you always need to include the extra spot for the zero at the end? It's like the
no.
String's only 3, but then we're initializing it.
I believe that that automatically happens.
Okay. And what if you made the array longer than the string that you were sending?
I believe those will be undefined values because we never wrote them, so I don't think we're going to actually initialize them to something. They'll probably just be whatever is in memory there. Yeah.
In the last line, if you did pointer plus 1, would it crash or would it be at
the end? Pointer plus 1. So in the last line, pointer of foo plus 1 and then again plus 1, you mean?
Like, instead of doing foo, you'd pointer instead, and then that A would go where the null pointer is.
Oh,
would it crash,
okay.
Or would that work?
Because I was already pointing at the third value, there Z, and if I do plus 1, well, I would be pointing at the fourth value, which is still fine. But if I do plus 2, then I would be pointing to some address I don't. So that address might be, you know, the next instruction, and I am overwriting it with a value A, and then I'm actually perhaps fetching an instruction from that address, which will be a problem. So it might crash, it might not crash. We don't know. Depends on what that address is used for. But yeah, it's not ideal. Yes. Okay, go ahead. Yes. Yes, you from the back. I'll come to you. Can we refer to pointers and arrays the same way? Yes. There is a difference, and I'm pointing it out on the next slide, but it's an array collapses, or how was it? What was the word? An array becomes a pointer. An array is a pointer. Doesn't mean that a pointer is an array, but an array is a pointer. Yes, go ahead. You had a question, yes.
Wait, so how did the last line work with the S there is 2 plus 1 assigned to A?
The last line. So how did the last line work? So if you look at foo, we declare it here, and we never change the address of foo, right? We assign pointer to it. We increment the value of pointer, but foo stays the same. So foo has an address of its own. The physical address is the same, and we can always use the star to get that address, meaning that address is always available to us by putting star in front of it, and by adding 1, we point to the next address, and we set A to that address, set the value A. So in that case, that will be the original foo. The first address is it used to be the F, and then the second it used to be the O, and we override that second. Yes. Does that answer the question? I saw you nodding.
And then, what is the star again?
One more time, please.
So the star is the pointer, the S there.
Yeah. Yeah, so I'll make a picture because maybe it's not fully clear. So this is memory, right? Just a column with the addresses. These are like addresses here. Let's say there's value 0, value, and these are 8-byte values. Value 1, value 2, and it goes the other way around. Anyway, address is long. We can always go any direction we want, right? At first we had F here, O, and the termination, right? And this was also, it so happens that this is where the data is stored, but also the variable, the array foo, which is the variable, right? It's a char foo, we declared as a variable. It points, meaning the address of that variable points right here at this value 0, at this first address. Now, what does, when I say address of that, what does that mean? How do we get an address in C? And that is the star operator. So the star operator gets you the address of a variable in C. Go through intro to pointers. I think that will be very helpful. In the weekend at some point, just go through intro to pointers. There are very good explanations on how pointers work. You had a question. Yes, sorry. Isn't this what we're doing here? Or what do you mean?
Separate plus one outside.
I think what that code is doing is doing the operation of adding the plus one first, and then wherever that value is, it dereferences it.
Uh-huh.
What I'm asking is, what if we need, what if the first closing parentheses is in front of two instead of in front of one?
I think it's the same. Go ahead, Charles. There you go. That actually makes sense. Yes. So dereferencing foo itself will just give you the value b, and then you're saying a, assign a to b. Yeah. And that's, yeah. That's a bit silly. Yes. I'll go further. I'll switch to the next. I mentioned that arrays, they decay into pointers, but they're not really 100% pointers. There are a couple of little bit of differences. For example, you can say pointer points to array. We saw that being done. We cannot do the other way around. Array points to point, or array equals to point. We cannot do that. That's not going to execute. And similarly, when it comes to size of array will actually, if you have 100 elements of int, that is 4 times 100 bytes, that is the size of your array, and size of array will actually give you 100. If you do that with pointer, it will always just give you the size of the address of the pointer, which is 8 bytes, and that's fixed. Same if you run it this way, which is going to be 8. Yeah. Should we move forward? I'll go quickly through a bit of history. C is a language with, it's been here for a while, and it was implemented, meaning there are many compilers out there. It was implemented by different people, and how do we know what C is? There has to be a standard. So in 1978, the first standard, the C programming language, was published, and it was quite different, very different, actually, from the current modern C we know. If you look at the old C and at the current C, you won't really believe that it's the same language. And it evolved And in 1989, the American National Standardization Institute published the modern a more modern version of C that looks more or less like our current version of C, and it was further enhanced or standardized again in 1999 by ISO and ANSI combined, and they added the commas, the ones that we I like to use those commas instead of the star and the bars, and before you were only able to put variables right after the opening of the accolade. So up, you open the method, declare all the variables you're gonna use, and that's it. But now you can put variables anywhere in the block, in the middle. And so on. You know, the C is evolving, and hopefully it will keep improving. Here is, what does the standardization mean? Or what does the specification mean? It means it specifies what C does, but there is a lot of stuff that is just not specified or is undefined. Sometimes on purpose, maybe sometimes overlooked. But in this case, we have an example of an undefined behavior. So we have a code, two functions. One is test, takes a number, and it returns the comparison. Is number plus one greater than the number itself? And in this main function, we are testing that with the largest integer, which is assigned, with the largest integer, right? And looking at it, number plus one should be larger than number, but when it's integer max, it will do an overflow, right? So we're gonna have the overflow, which will go into negative. It's gonna be definitely smaller than int max. So if we compile this without optimizations, the result will give us zero. Now, if we compile it with optimizations, it will give us one. So the same compiler with just different optimization flags will give us different values at this function. This is undefined behavior. And this is fine. This is correct according to the C standard, because the C standard simply never defines overflow for int. Behavior for the overflow, and this is correct C. So can't really trust. Yeah, you have to be careful also how you use it as a user. Now this is this is also how it looks in ASCII. So the optimized, it will just put the one. It will always say, okay, well, yeah, number plus one should be greater than number, so it puts a one. Now, the less optimized actually does the math. And by doing the math, it gets us the zero in that case. Now, there are advantages. So undefined behavior, that actually does mean that compilers can do what they want in that space of the undefined behavior. When the behavior is defined, they have to adhere to the specification. So they could crash your program. That's also program can crash. I guess we'll experience that very many times in our life. So what is not defined? We just saw the signed integer overflow. It's just not defined, underflow. Out of bounds pointers, divide by zero, writing read-only data. We should never really write on the read-only data, but if you do, compiler might decide to do it. What?
So does this mean like every single time we run it, it's like rolling the dice? Oh, maybe it'll work, but maybe it won't.
There is a small chance that, yes. I would say that most of the times the program will work,
yeah.
But yeah, there is you are always rolling the dice a little bit. So I guess the question was, is there always the chance that the program will just crash and we don't know why? I don't think it's a 50-50.
Okay.
It's a very biased dice, I'd say. Yeah. Out of bounds shift. Say you have a 64-bit register, but you're shifting 100 bits, then that's undefined behavior. We don't know what's going on. So why do we have undefined behavior? Several reasons. It gives us more flexibility for optimizations. We saw that in the optimized version, right? It just optimized that code the way it decided to without having to adhere to a specification. So we can have more stronger optimization level. Then we don't want to, so allow compilers to expose whatever processor does naturally and don't encode a particular machine in the standard. That's the one I like the most. We don't want a particular architecture, a particular implementation of a machine to define the language. We want it to be the other way around. A language to be able to run on multiple machines and then construct the machine so that it runs the language as best as it can, but not the other way around. We don't want to, like for example, GPU, like CUDA, NVIDIA GPUs, they are one-to-one with CUDA, right? So I guess a CUDA language and the GPU itself will be somewhat related. In this case, it's not like that, right? C and processor architecture, the processor doesn't influence the language. We don't want that. Quick questions so far, because we are switching to the next topic about C, about the history, about... Okay. So today we're going to look at bitwise operations. To motivate a bit, why do we have bitwise operations? In hardware, we have real wires for data to flow from one place to another. And a wire encodes a bit, and we can have multiple of them to have multiple bits, 64 bits, 256 bits. As many, wires are not that expensive, though they do consume power. A wire can mean a logical one if it's high voltage, for example, or a low voltage might be logical zero, or the other way around. It's like logic high, logic low. What's interesting is that in hardware, it's very easy to do, for example, an operation like this, to extract a certain subset of bits. For example, I want those four bits on the left. In hardware, they are just there. You can just pick them, right? Looks like that. It's very simple to do. Now, how can we do this in software? So what is really the problem? The problem is to extract a hexadecimal nibble. And by nibble, we define it as a digit, hexadecimal digit. So the problem is we have a value here, it's hexadecimal AB, and we want to extract just the A, right? Just that those four bits. The other four we want to ignore. So we have a C function here, get top nibble, that takes as an argument a byte and returns an int. And how can we implement this? And turns out we can use math. We can use a mathematical operation to do this, right? And we can maybe do some bitwise. So that's the motivation for this class. We'll see how math versus bitwise compares. Which mathematical operation will give us that? Add, subtract, multiply, divide. Modulo. Go ahead.
Maybe minus b and divide by 16.
Well, divide by 16 sounds good to me. Why would you do a minus b?
Because we don't want to.
Well, but the value can be any value, right? It can be AC.
Yeah.
But divide by 16 makes sense, right? So what happens when we divide by 16? There will be a result and a remainder. And the result will be the values that are above the 16, the four bits, right? And then the remainder will be the other values. So I think you're right. If I had some cookies or some candy, I would throw them. Virtual candy. crypto candy. There is the, we can do a value divided by 16. Which one is more efficient? Is it in hardware, like the wires are just right there, so it seems like more efficient in hardware to just take the value, while in software we have to do a division. And division, addition is quite fast. We can do four additions in one clock cycle on a current modern processor. Now a division might take six cycles. So a division is heavy, as a heavy operation itself, because it can do divide by everything, right? By anything, by 7, by 13, a prime number, by 1,000, by any number. So division is not ideal, but it will work. So can we do simpler? That is the question. And one motivation for that motivates having an instruction such as shift. In this case, shift right. So what is shift right? Shift by an amount. This amount is always bits, number of bits, not bytes, not variables, integers or something, it's bits. We shift a certain amount of bits, and here's an example where we shift by 3. So we shift those values by 3. This 3 will just disappear from there. And what are we going to put in these other values? Why do you even have to do that? Well, this is a full register. A register has 8 bytes, 64 bits, and we just took 3, we shifted everything in there, but the other bits are now empty. They have to have a value, right? We cannot just leave them floating. So in this case, we are putting zeros. And this is, at least this is how we define this instruction. Shift right, we are putting some zeros there, okay? Question, yeah.
Honestly, it's just the last, I still don't know why you divide by 16.
Why do we divide by 16? Oh, yeah. I'm so sorry. Yeah, let's look at that, of course. We have this value, AB. And, A is like, so this is hexadecimal. So it says we have B times 16. The power is 0, and this is A times 16 to the power 1, right?
Oh, okay.
Is that, that answers the question?
Okay.
Or in binary, this A will be 4 bits, right? Mm-hmm. And this B will be another 4 bits. Sorry, I made a mistake. And, when you have all of them 1, meaning this is like the maximum number, the maximum value in 4 bits will be 2 to the 4, which is 6, which is 15, 16. So you do, you divide by 16, and you will get this as remainder, and this as the div result. So this will be thrown out. I mean, if you divide it as a float, you will get a decimal part, and then the other part. But this is an integer, right? So there will be a, we'll round down, round towards 0. Okay. So this is the how it looks in assembly. So this is bits again. And here is the function implementation in assembly. So we will move the value into a register, we will do the shift and return. And I want to also show the C implementation. And in C, we use this operator. So greater, that's the operator for shift right. And then the next number after the argument is by how much? By how many bits? Do you have questions about this? Yes?
Do you mind speaking a little louder? It's a little bit hard to hear.
Did the microphone, it turned off. Yeah, it did show me low back. I was on mute. I'm sorry. Yeah, I didn't notice that.
Is the recording also don't have to...
No, the recording is fine. It's different microphones. I have 3 microphones.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. Yes. Thank you very much for that.
I got a question.
Oh yeah. Go ahead.
So that's the same as divided by 4, right?
That is the same as divide by.
Or like, what is
16?
The purpose of
by 2 to the 4, right?
Yeah. 4 is, yeah.
Yeah. And actually, that's a very good question. So right shift and C. And exactly your question, right? We have now two functions up there. We implement the first one with shift to the right by 4 and the other one by using the division. And then the question is, what will it look like in the assembly? What will the compiler do? And it generates the same thing. It understands that 16 is the perfect value to do shift. You know, division by 16, great. That's the opportunity to do that shift. So it just does that automatically. All right. Now, another example with more values, and ultimately we conclude that, you know, this is the math formula for it, and whichever form is we're more comfortable with. So if you have the value 4, which is represented over there in binary, then if you shift it by nothing, by 0, it stays 4. You shift by 1, just that value goes there. So you end up with 2. Shift by 2, the value goes all over here. You end up with 1. So that is similar to 4 divided by 2 to the 0, 4 divided by 2 to the 1, 4 divided by 2 to the 2, right? And similar with 10. So this is the math formula that implements right shift, where y is the number of bits. Oh, this is not a minus. No questions, right? I mean, this is clear. So here's an exercise, and let's focus on this exercise a bit. So we have a function foo that takes an int, returns an int, and there is the assembly implementation of that function. And the question is, what is the value of returned of a foo when we pass the value minus 2 to it? And there are some choices. Work worked out, please. And mind that, you know, this is an integer, and this minus 2, which gets written, gets represented as a 2's complement. Do you need more time? More time? Ready? You need more time? Okay. Now the battery's on. Anyone says that the result is A, B, C, C, D, E, a small positive, F, a large positive, okay, we have a majority, G, a large negative number, and H, something else. So f, f is the final answer, but let's go through why that's the case. Well, so what is 2? 2 is, well, positive 2 is 1, 0, right? And then to make that into 2's complement, I'll just speak louder. I think the battery is turning off. That will be, we flip them 1, 1, 1, 0, 1, and we add 1. So 1, 1, 1, 1, 0. And then we shift that, right? So then, and there's gonna be many more ones here, right? 64-bit. So we shift that, so this one will, basically this zero will go away, but we will end up with a zero over here. And this zero is what makes it positive. And then we have a bunch of ones, which is a very large number. So that's why the result is a large positive number. The final answer. Let's look a bit at 2's complement, just a refresher. 2's complement, so the number representation is usually that we have integers. So the first bit is 1 times 2 to the 0, and plus this guy times 2 to the 1, this one 2 to the 2, but then when we reach the last one, because it's minus 1, that's how we represent that. This is is 1 times minus 2. Sorry. Hello. So it's 1 times, we keep the minus, 2 to the 31. So, you know, it's going to be a very large negative number, plus all those other positive numbers will actually in the end result into minus 1. Now, there is a way to see that with this 2's complement circle representation. So, when we count our numbers, we just go like from, say, minus 3, minus 2, minus 1, then we reach 0, and then 1, 2, 3, and so on. And we just keep adding until we get to the highest positive number, 2 to the 31 minus 1. And we want it to be the same as here, this transition, right? We went from the smallest, which is actually the highest negative into the smallest positive. So we want to do the same here, right? We want to do the highest positive into the smallest negative, which is this big amplitude here. How will that look in binary? So we go from 0, you know, 0, 0, 0, and so on. Then we go to 0, 0, 1, then 1, 0, then 1, 1, and so on. We reach a large number of 1s with a 0 in front. And then when we add one more 1, we switch to this value, and that happens to be a 1, and then followed by a bunch of zeros. And this will be our sign bit. Right? And we just keep adding values until we get to that, all ones. And that will be our minus 1. So that's a refresher on 2's complement. Questions about 2's complement? So dividing negative by 2. So we start with x. What did I do there in the beginning, right? I started with the number that we had, x. Then I flipped all the bits and added 1 to get the positive version of that number, x. Then we will right shift to get x over 2. Then we have to go back to negative, so we flip all the bits again and add 1 to get minus x over 2. So if you look at these steps, we have flip over bits twice, so they've kind of canceled each other, right? And we have add one again twice. Add 1, that's also twice. So it looks like we don't really need to do all these steps. We could just shift in negative, right? So that this is the same as right shift by 1, adding 1s instead of 0s. So this would be a nice operation to have, right? doing a right shift by one and adding ones, not zeros, adding ones instead of zeros at the beginning. And it's such a useful operation that we actually have a dedicated instruction for it. So it's the same as shift right, except now it's shift arithmetic right, or arithmetic shift right. So that's a new instruction that is exactly the same as the previous one, except when necessary, meaning when is a negative value, we pad with ones in the beginning. So in this case, we have a positive number. This is a zero here, so we pad with zeros. And when we have a one, we will be padding with ones. Right? Questions? Yes? Yeah, so at that time I was still doing a regular left shift, not an arithmetic. So why was it previously that we were padding with zeros, right? So in this case I was padding, I padded with a zero right here. So why was that the case? Because here I was doing I was not using the arithmetic shift. I was doing just the shift right. And the shift right, by definition, is pad with zero.
Is this shift left or shift
right? Right. This R is right. And L is the data size. Question, yes? Yes, the arithmetic right shift is the same as right shift, except when it's a negative value, we will be padding with ones.
So pad with ones only if the value is negative?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Should you always just use the arithmetic right shift, or is the shift right like faster or something?
It is faster, so we don't have to check for the sign. So it will be. Yeah, you have another question.
So when you do the arithmetic shift and you're doing with positive values, it doesn't replace all the extra values, but then you have one and half zero.
When we do an arithmetic shift and we have positive values, it will pad with zeros.
Yes. So it's just the same thing as normal.
Exactly, yeah, same thing. So in C, it will work on its own. So if we have shift signed, it will automatically assemble into using this instruction shift arithmetic, while if we use unsigned, it will use the regular shift. The amount is actually undefined. There are some undefined aspects of it. We have another exercise. Similar question as before. The initial number is -6, and we shift 2. And this is an integer. Please mind of that. And we just learned that an integer will be using in the assembly the shift arithmetic. So what will be the answer? Let's take a few seconds to find the result. And we did learn that the math behind choices.
Right. So it's like something else.
Maybe. I mean, a shift will compute something with bits. It's going to be a value.
What's that for? What is this?
Four. We shift by two.
No, I'm saying, what is the one plus negative 1.5?
Well, we learned the formula. What is the shift? It's a divide by 2 to the power of.
Right. And
so
this is 2 shifts.
Yeah,
much.
Yeah. Shift by 2. See over there. So it's 2 to the power of 2, which is 4. The number we shift is minus 6. Minus 6. Need more time? Still doing some pen on paper calculations? Or should we try results? Who thinks the answer is A, B, C, all right, D, E, all right. So yeah, it's more tricky this time, right? So if we use the formula, tells us it's gonna be minus 1.5, a div always rounds towards zero. So the div will want to give us minus one. That will be the div. But the shift division will actually end up doing something else. So we start with a value 6, then we flip all the bits, right, and add 1 to get minus 6. So this is minus 6, right? And then we do an arithmetic shift by 2. So this 2 will go away. And we're going to add 1s here, right? And this value is minus 2. Now, div gives us minus 1, while arithmetic right shift gives us minus 2. So that's not great. Meaning, if C is specifying that the division should give us minus 1, here we are giving minus 2. So you know, we're not according to the specification. And we have to be according to the specification at all costs. So then we have to make this execute correctly. Yeah, so in C, the division rounds towards 0. And in our case, we notice that the rounding goes towards negative infinity. At least that's what the example suggests. So what would be a solution? Here's an assembly code how we can fix that. And this assembly code is maybe a little, you might want to spend some more time on it on your own. But the idea is that since we're, in this case, we're dividing by 8. So I gave an example here. Say we want to divide minus 38 by 8. So that will be minus 4.75, which should round to minus 4. But with the arithmetic right shift, it will round to minus 5. That's the problem, right? So we could correct this by always just adding a correction, a bias. And what is the bias? It's no, don't add another 8, add just under 8, so 8 minus 1, add a 7. So we're adding a 7, so we're shifting our initial value closer to 0, 38 plus 7. Now if we divide this by 8, minus 31 divided by 8, we're getting this minus 3.8. And with the arithmetic right shift, this will round towards minus 4, which is exactly what we want to have. So this is also what this assembly code does. We do the load effective address, and we actually use that to compute. We add a 7 to our RDI, put it into AEX. Then we test, do we have a negative number? So we're going to look at this sign flag. And if that's the case, we will use the value with which we just offset, which we added the bias. If we don't have a negative number, then we don't have. We can use the original value. It's positive, so that's how we can fix that. So we do now division by by 2 power 2, right? Using how many instructions? Using 4. Right? 4 instructions. Questions to this?
Where's the plus 7 come from?
Okay, you also have a question? Go ahead.
So if it was like divided by 16, would you use 15?
Yeah. Yeah. So that is the same question. Why do we have the off? How did we determine the offset? It's like part of how math works, right? It seems quite intuitive to me. We are dividing by 8, and it's a negative value, so we want the result to be rounded not towards the infinity, towards minus infinity, but we want the result to be rounded towards 0, right? So if we decrement the value, but not by, by a lot, but by what's the highest number we can decrement to still get the right value?
Just
so that will be just basically add to that negative value another, not 8, but 8 minus 1, add a 7. So in our case, if it's 16, add a 15. Yeah, so then we're going to shift the initial value itself closer to 0, and then divide that, whatever you see. Yeah, question? So the division itself should have been negative 1. If we use the divide operator, you see, minus 6 divide by 4. And the divide, I mean this operator, right? If in C we use this operator, the div, according to the C definitions, the definition of the programming language, it will round towards 0. So it will truncate whatever is, it will truncate this 0.5, throw it away. That's how C works. But when we use the shift method to compute this division, it was rounding towards minus infinity. So that was the disparity. That's why we are trying to fix that.
Okay, so what you were talking about before is related to the exercise? Still?
Yeah, so the exercise showed us that the shift of the arithmetic right shift for negative numbers, it does division, it's still a pretty good division, but the rounding is an issue. It rounds towards minus infinity, and that's an issue. That's basically the disparity we're trying to fix. Go ahead.
Okay, let's just fix it this one with the thing we just talked about. Like, so we're going to...
Yeah. So here we were doing division by 4, right?
Right. So we...
We're going to add a 3.
On the
so we're
going to
have minus 6 plus 3 equals minus 3.
Right.
Right? So minus 3 will be... 3, what is 3? 1, 1, that's 3, right?
Okay.
So 0, 0, 0, 0, 0, 1, 1. Now if we flip that 2's complement, right? So we're going to have 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, 0, 0. Plus 1 we have to add. So we're going to have 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, and then 1, 0. That will be...
Zero,
1.
Sorry.
0, 1. Okay. So that... I'm sorry, what are we doing? So we have minus 3. We have 3, and then we're trying to write minus 3. Okay, yes. Minus 3. Then we want to shift right? And by doing that, we're going to lose this 1 here, right?
Oh, yeah.
We're going to lose that, and we'll have 1 there. And this value will probably... So we're still dividing by how much? By
the 4.
Yeah, by 4, right?
4, yeah.
Yeah, so... this value will be what? Will be minus 2, and we want it to be...
Minus 1.
Minus 1.
Mm-hmm.
One more time, Charles. Yeah.
It doesn't seem to work.
No, come on, it has to work.
Yeah, it has to work, exactly.
No, it definitely works. I am, you know, my math might be wrong, but it definitely works.
Okay.
Yeah. Anyway.
Why can't you just use division?
Well, division. So division, like we said, is an expensive operation. It takes many block cycles, and you know, it's a slow operation. While a shift is much faster.
Okay.
Yes.
So you're talking about
it is negative. Yeah.
Okay.
No,
so in what cases would it do a regular right shift versus
if it's unsigned? If it's unsigned in, it will always do just a right shift.
And does that apply for things like longs and doubles and stuff like that too?
Yeah. Yeah. Yes. Let's try to cover a few more slides in a few moments. So can we do left shift? So if right shift is an operation, can we do left shift? And of course we can. There is an operation for that. Shift left, SHR. And so it's defined the same way. Four is number of bits. The operator is now the other direction, so less than. And we always pad with zeros. So the shift and these least significant bits are going to be padded with zeros. In this case, luckily, we don't have sign or division problems. This is much simpler. So yeah, no issues there. And so we pad by zero. No need to think of what do we pad with. Picture of it, again, x86, the way it's defined, and we just move all the bits. We're gonna lose some of the most significant bits if it overflows, right? If that's the way it's implemented, we pad some zeros here. And if we look at the math, shifting a one gives us, by zero stays the same, by one gives us two. If we look at the binary here, right? By 2 gives us 4. If we shift at 10, and here's the binaries, we get 10, 20, 40. The negative values, minus 10, minus 20, minus 40. So that looks pretty good, right? Meaning kind of more straightforward. Shifting x by y is equivalent with multiplying x by 2 to the power of y. Can we use this to do a little more complicated operations, such as extracting that nibble, 2, from this data here? So we have 1f, 2, 0, and we want to extract the nibble 2. And we can break this down into two steps. So in this class, the idea is that we are breaking things down into several steps. We'll see that in several times now. Meaning we don't have to do everything in one, don't have to solve the problem in one step. We can break it into simpler problems. So for example, let us first get rid of the zero here, and then the 1f. So here's the one exercise. How do we get, what operation do we have to do to eliminate the zero? Do you think we do A, we shift by 16, maybe B, shift to the right by 4, B, maybe C, do the left shift by 4, or by 2. I think we all agree that the answer is B. If we shift this value, we will eliminate those 4 bits over there. And now the second step is we want to get rid of the 1f. So to do that, what do? We can divide by 256. So currently this is what we have, right? We have 0x1f2. So that's 4 bits, that's another 4 bits, that's another 4 bits. We just want to get rid of this, only to have this left. We can divide by 256, do modulo 256, divide by 16, which, what do you think is that? One of the answers. So we really just want these four bits here to be left, right? These bits here. We want to get rid of this eight. Go ahead. I agree with you, yeah, I think it's D. Anyone else thinks it's D? All right, so, if we do D, we get a remainder, which is exactly what we want. We want those 4 bits, and 16 is 2 to the power 4, right? So that's 4 bits. So remainder of the division of dividing by 16 will be that left. However, look, we still did a division, which is expensive, right? So we're trying not to do division, and here we are still doing division. So that motivates our, and there is also another way of doing it. We could first divide by two, first do the modulo 256 and then shift by 4. So first eliminate this, so get left, leave only this, and then shift this one out. So that's another option, right? This is the second. But we still did a division. How do we expose this to software, and how do we make use of more operations that actually, so the motivation is here, that we want to do more, we want to be able to actually select specific bits, you know? That should be also possible, and to do that easily in software. Unfortunately, we're coming close to an end of the lecture, so we'll continue this next Tuesday. Yeah, and we'll make sure we finish this next Tuesday.
For that example, like it's -3 divided by 4, right? So it's like -0.75.
We can do that.
And then it runs up to -1. So it's -1. Yeah, wait. Is that correct? Because it was like -6 plus 3, so it's -3. -3 divided by 4.
But definitely, let's go through it. I'm sure we'll get it.